Welcome, welcome to the best 5 minute one podcast with Forrest Kelly.
Hi, this is Onye Ahnotu. I am the founder and winemaker of Ikenga Wines based in Berkeley, California.
It's Ikenga, and you pronounce it how?
Ikenga Wines.
Ikenga, okay.
And my first name is spelled O-N-Y-E.
Now, let's get a little bit of a background from you that I can tell the listeners right now that you're from Nigeria. So, okay, now you're in Berkeley, California. What in your past led you directly to becoming a winemaker?
So directly is a hard question to answer. To correct the record, my dad is from Nigeria. He grew up there, was born there. I grew up in Sonoma County, California. So that kind of starts to get to this wine question. Yeah, I grew up in Rohnert Park, California, and surrounded by, you know, grape wine. And really throughout my lifetime, I saw Sonoma County transform, you know, to continue to expand the grape wine industry and fields, you know, that we just used to play in as kids. Then, you know, coming back from college, I'm like, oh, that's a vineyard now. Oh, that's a vineyard now. So definitely was surrounded by kind of the emergence of the huge industry that's developed now. And my background, I say that I have a classical foundation or classical training in science and engineering. So chemical engineering, material science engineering, that's what I studied in school. But you know, outside of school, I was always cooking. I was always traveling around the world and learning about new cultures through food. And I also have an art practice on the side. So for me, wine and what I do in wine is really synthesizing and bringing together all those different elements of my life, from the culture to the food to the technology aspects, and bring it together to create something that's delicious, that you can drink, and goes with the types of foods that I like to eat.
Well, where did you go to school?
I went to undergrad at University of California, Irvine, and I got my master's at University of Michigan.
Were you doing all of these educations simultaneously, or that was a span over 8-10 years?
I'm a lifelong learner, I like to say, but a lot of this has happened, it's just interwoven in there. Art I've been doing ever since I was a kid and have never stopped. And cooking, you know, the same. I've been cooking and, you know, in a more serious way, you know, leaving the home, going to school, you know, wanting to eat some of those favorite dishes that my mom or my aunt used to prepare. You know, gotta make it myself. You know, you can't really find Nigerian food. You couldn't find Nigerian food out and about as easily back then.
Now, when you say Nigerian food, what is the staple of Nigerian food? When your mom and dad are sitting down at the table and, you know, calls everybody for dinner, what are we eating?
I would say the classic would be a soup, more like a stew, like a thick soup that you eat with like a starchy, doughy substance that people call fufu. And that doughy substance could be made from cassava, it could be made from yam, plantain, so many different starchy ingredients. But yeah, the soup is, you know, rich, you usually have some meat in there, some vegetables, and something that you would eat with your hands, usually.
And are the adults, or even the children, depending on the mood, drinking wine? Is it at the table, or that's only for special occasions?
So when it comes to palm wine, it ranges. Some of it's just like, can you get it? Can you find it? You know, is the tapper that usually brings it to you, is he tapping these days? But yeah, it's something that you could drink at an everyday sort of occasion. Some people drink it in the morning with their breakfast, almost like a juice, which, you know, at this stage, it doesn't have much alcohol in it. It's more for like that sweetness and refreshing kind of element in the morning. And yeah, you'll find it a lot more in maybe like roadside, kind of like beer parlor style, you know, where you have some special bites, maybe like some spicy little small bites that you would eat alongside the palm wine. But yeah, so, you know, depending on the parents, they may, you know, if it's the low alcohol one, it's basically juice. You know, they may share it with the kids in the morning, and in the evening, that wine is, you know, definitely has alcohol, and that one probably won't be shared with the kids as much.
The big reveal is we're talking about wine that isn't made from grapes. It's made from what?
So we're talking about the category of wine called palm wine. which is made conventionally from the sap of palm trees.
The sap of palm trees. I'm surrounded by palm trees here in Southern California. And where is the sap coming from on the palm tree?
There's different methods of collecting the sap in different parts of the world. But think of it like maple syrup. You know, you kind of in the trunk of the tree. And there's various ways, various places that you can get the sap from the trunk. And that really varies based on culture and region, I'd say.
To make wine from the sap of palm trees kind of came from necessity, right? Because not every place in the world can grow vineyards. So do you know the history on where they started and how they came about it?
Oh, yeah. I know some of the history, I'll say. You know, I'm continually learning the history, I would say, in different parts. But I would argue that palm wine is one of the oldest wines in the world. It's millions of years old. When the dinosaurs are around, palm trees are around. And it's a wine that would form when a tree breaks. You know, that could be from natural origins, like a tree falls down from the wind, or a big dinosaur bumps into it and it breaks, or maybe like a small animal tries to burrow into the tree and then sap starts oozing out. Palm wine spontaneously ferments. And because of that, there are some primates that have evolved, or other animals that have evolved, to seek that out as their food source. So bats, primates, other animals. And if you look at the geographic distribution of palm trees, you know, this is around the equatorial part of the world. And people probably saw, oh, wow, what are those animals going up there and eating? You know, they kind of act differently after they come down. So I think it was more of understanding, you know, observing nature, seeing this naturally occurring phenomenon. And then humans just being humans, being like, oh, well, what if we drank that? What is that like? So yeah, I would say that palm wine is partly necessity, but part just nature's abundance. You know, something that forms and is collected and enjoyed.
On the website, it says that you have a patent-pending approach. Now, and then you also say that it happens naturally, that it ferments and it comes out. So where in the process, so you get the sap, and then what do you do with it after that? What is the process to put that in, whatever it is, in the bottle?
I'll dive into the conventional wine, and then I'll talk about what we're doing.
Oh, perfect.
So conventional wine, you know, is collected from the palm tree. It's something that needs to be consumed the same day. So that's what I was kind of differentiating between the morning wine, which is like sweet, you know, really barely fermented, and then that evening wine, which then has maybe 3-4% alcohol and is enjoyed more by the adults. And if you think of the next day, you wake up and you're like, oh, I like that palm wine that I had yesterday, let me have it again. You may find it's starting to sour. And if you leave it for another day, you know, 3 days, it's turned to vinegar. And in some places like the Philippines, that vinegar is, you know, used in cooking for maybe adobo or other dishes. But basically, it's going to be difficult to preserve. You know, you need to, there's all these spoilage organisms in there, and you need to somehow preserve that wine and prevent it from turning into vinegar, just like, you know, grape wine can be turned into vinegar. So what I do in our patent-pending process is, rather than collecting the sap from a naturally occurring conventional palm tree, we find other plant-based sources for those same molecules that make up palm sap. So what we do is we make a molecular palm sap that has the same properties, same chemistry, from all natural ingredients. And then we do a controlled fermentation of that molecular palm sap, which we then have a lot more control over the microbial composition and over the sensory properties, and then we bottle it. And that's where we get into our bottling, which right now we're focused on a method ancestral approach. And people may be more familiar with the term pet nat, you know, these days. But yeah, Basically an unfiltered, hazy, sparkling wine.
And the alcohol content is how much compared to traditional wine?
For conventional palm wine, you'll find it, you know, ranging from 0 to 3 to 4%. And our wines sit around 8 to 10%.
And then is there a different hangover or a residual effect if you drink, you know, a little too much?
Different from grape wine, you mean?
Yeah, yes.
Not that I found. I think alcohol is alcohol.
Yeah, okay.
You get drunk, if you have too much, you're not hydrated enough, then yeah, you're going to feel it in the morning. But because it is conventionally, it tends to be on the sweeter side. Yeah, sometimes it just feels like you just had too much, you know, sugar and sweetness in your body if you're drinking the conventional stuff.
When was the moment when you said, okay, I want to start my own palm wine company?
It was back in 2017. I was working at Harvard University doing technology development, sustainable materials technologies. You know, we're at a good pause point. We're, you know, thinking, should I start a new project? Should I start a project of my own? And at that point, I had a bunch of ideas of things that I wanted to work on. And I left my job and just wanted to take some time to explore those ideas, palm wine being one of them. To explore it, I went to Nigeria. We, you know, went to my ancestral homeland and just spent time there and got to know the place better as an adult. Worked with some tappers locally who were there and, you know, just started to get an idea of what is palm wine, what is good palm wine, what is bad palm wine, and how could I preserve it? You know, how could I get it into a bottle, into a shelf-stable format, and possibly ship it, you know, to the U.S.?
And is it only through your website, or do you have a distribution?
Right now, you know, basically fast forward, that was, you know, back in 2017 to 2019 was kind of that, you know, early work of just seeing what could be done on the technique of, you know, winemaking technique side. And flash forward to now, we have our license. We are exploring the West African flavor profile, you know, the terroir of West Africa through our sparkling palm wine. And you can buy it on our website. And we're just starting to look at different restaurants and retail outlets of where our wine might live beyond our website or wherever we're popping up. And, you know, if you're curious, if you want to try it, stay tuned for this summer and we'll probably have some announcements on that.
If you're sitting down to a meal, how flexible does the wine pair with food?
So just like grape wine, there are different, let's say, labels that we have. You know, just like you might with a Pinot, you might have it with a certain dish, or with a Blanc de Blanc, you might have it with a certain dish. I want to bring that same level of intentionality into the palm wine category. So we have a few different labels currently, and some are more geared towards, you know, they're delicate. They're more geared towards pairing with something like a fish or maybe something with a little savory, nutty note, like some pad thai. And then others may be a little bit more bold, fruit forward, and those may be good with like a jollof rice or a jerk chicken. So there's a really big range. And even this weekend, somebody was trying it with chocolate and they were like, oh, this is a great pairing. So there is a pretty big range. And that's the now that we have wine on the market and in a bottle, you know, I think that's the excitement of being able to, you know, nerd out and try a bunch of food wine pairings.
Yeah. What are your buddies back at Harvard? What do they think of what you're doing?
They think it's fascinating. A lot of people at Harvard in my network, they're working on these really long-term, high-impact projects. One of them's working on 3D printing a heart. So I think, you know, having something that you can drink, that you can, that's tangible, that has like a shorter development time scale, I think is really exciting and intriguing and, you know, makes the science and the, you know, kind of technology development stuff fun for, you know, people in their lives of like, you know, maybe they don't want to always nerd out about some technical coding, but wine, a lot of people like wine and that's something a lot of people can gather around.
That's interesting you say that because, you know, that's one of the big selling points of grape wine is resveratrol, and you know it's heart healthy. So your buddy, is he actually a real live working 3D heart, or how deep into that is palm wine heart beneficial?
There are many kind of like folk wisdoms around the health benefits of palm wine. I haven't gotten in any clinical studies or anything like that, so I don't know how much of it can be, you know, verifiable, but they're, you know, just over the decades and over the generations, people do have beliefs of it's good for your eyes or these various elements.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Mark Scott, somebody who, you know, we were neighbors at Harvard and he's now at Stanford. and his lab is focusing on 3D printing a heart. It's not fully viable yet, I believe, but in terms of, I think they're getting pretty close. I think the cells, cells are there, vasculature is there. I'm not sure the exact, challenge that they're facing right now. If it's like a, just the cells living for a certain amount of time after printing, but yeah, it's exciting work.
Wow, that's a pretty impressive class that you were in there.
I think we're all trying to change the world, and we're all kind of, leveraging our backgrounds and, our perspectives to try to do it. So for me, I saw an opportunity in the gap when it comes to wine and food. And, there's this emergence of fine dining for Caribbean food, for West African food, South Indian food. But when it comes to the beverage space, it's still not fully developed for those cultures. So for me, that was one thing that I saw that I can contribute to. Maybe I can contribute to printing a heart, but, maybe that's not my calling at the moment.
There isn't, I imagine, palm tree vineyards.
Well, probably closer to you. There's some palm tree, I'd say, more like plantations or farms. But for us, you're mentioning the environmental impact element and reducing CO2. But with my background, I really wanted to bring this to market, but do it in a way, in a high quality way in terms of taste, but also not destroy the environment as I'm doing this. So for us, we don't actually need to source from palm trees. We can make palm wine without the palm trees. And by doing that, we reduce the environmental impact. And also on the producer side, we make it a lot easier and a lot faster. So we're not relying on clearing a piece of land in the forest and then planting some trees and coming back 10 to 30 years later to then start to harvest them. It's a really inefficient way of producing those molecules. So, what we actually use is part of the trade secret, but I would say that we're source agnostic realistically. So we could procure our molecules from a variety of sources, and the ones that we're using right now, that's kind of our secret sauce.
Yeah, okay. In this journey of putting this whole thing together, you haven't reached total fruition yet, but is in the journey, has there been a point when you were, wow, this is more difficult than what I thought, and I don't think I can get over this obstacle?
I think the challenge that I faced, and this was, back in 2019, I kind of had this original epiphany, aha moment. And, that's where the science lies. Like, okay, how do I do this? What are the levers? Kind of identifying the different levers in the palm wine making world. And the years after, from 2020 to now, and years to come, is around the art of winemaking. So now I know the levers, but it's like I have the palette, I have the colors that I want to paint with. But how do we put those together to create a cohesive experience? That's kind of where I'm at right now. And this is a space where there's no right or wrong answer. It's just subjective. And, everyone has different sensory experiences with our wine. Some of them, they're like, oh, this one reminds me of palm wine. And then another person would be like, oh, no, this other one reminds me of palm wine. So there's no clear answer. And it's not like an existential, like, oh, are we going to make it or not? Yeah, it's an adventure and there's no right answer here, in the space that we're at right now. It's the fun part. It's the, head scratching part where you're looking at it and you're like, Where does palm wine begin and end? I feel like it's some of the philosophical questions I'm asking right now.
There isn't different varietals, right? It's basically all just one quote-unquote vintage.
So when it comes to palm wine, I'm just focusing on wines that are based off of oil palm, sap, like the chemistry of oil palm. And that definitely has variety, let's say, seasonality, there's all these variances, but then there's other types of palms. There's rapia palm, there's coconut, there's all these different, this is where the grape world would call them varietals. There's different grapes. And even within that, there's a lot of stuff that you could do. There's different styles, I would say, that you could do with a given, input. So it's just this huge, huge white space. And yeah, it's trying to navigate that white space and communicate it to consumers in a way that makes sense.
If money was no object, would you have a store?
Yeah. If money was no object, we would have a store. We would probably have some sort of food service alongside that store. And, you know, for me, palm wine is just the beginning. It's a category that I have, you know, cultural connection to. But in my travels and in my adventures, I've come across so many other beverages that are, they have that same story of palm wine, whereas locally they're enjoyed, they've been enjoyed for thousands of years, but for various technical reasons, it's just difficult to bottle them. So for me, again, if money was no option or no, you know, issue, and we had the time and resources, then, you know, palm wine would be one of the offerings of our many offerings at Ikenga Wine.
Best 5 minute one podcast.
Don't forget my favorite part.
Please, please like and follow. Oh.